Thank you. If you need a Bible, you can. If you don't have a Bible at home, take that Bible home with you. We want you to have that. If you know somebody that doesn't have a Bible, you can take that and give it away. We're going to look at a lot of passages of Scripture today, so take your sermon notes out. It's in your bulletin. And there's lots of passages. We'll go through them very quickly because there's a lot there. And you can look at those at home as well. A lot of them I'll just quote to you and you can take notes. But our flagship verse for this entire series, which is also the memory verse for this series, I'm going to see how well you do. This is a pop quiz. Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's our verse for this series, Stress to Rest. Stress has been called America's number one disease. Everyone deals with stress. Absolutely every single person on some level, they deal with stress. So a survey came out and said that the five top stressors in America, our first one was my future. People stress out about the unknown, about stuff they can't control, about future events that they're uncertain about. The second one today, which seems a little strange since we just covered a series 6 weeks ago. We ended the series called Balance, Gaining and Maintaining Financial Stability in Your Life. You're saying, Pastor, you're preaching on finances again? I promise you, not for months and months and months will we go back to finances, but you can't cover stress. I mean, who on Long Island doesn't have financial stress, right? So, you know, there's a lot of stress because the taxes are high. This is the highest place in the United States to live, Suffolk County. And we're right here. And I counsel people every single week. Just yesterday I was talking to someone, helping them, just listening mainly yesterday, about the financial stress in their life. So I said, well, we can't cover these stresses without going back to finances for 1 week just to hear what God's Word has to say. So it'll be a recap if you were here for that series. And if you need a brush up, you want more on that, there's the Balance CDs out there. You can get the whole series for that. And it was a great series. So I want to encourage you to do that as you leave today if you want to have that series. It's free, so pick that up in the foyer. So the next stress, my future, my finances, then my job. People have career stresses and job stresses. How do we deal with those relationships and all the intricacies of stress at jobs? And then my faith, and then the last one, which, you know, I'm going to get a little red preaching because I couldn't believe this is on the list, my sex life. We tackle them as we get them, so, you know, pray for me on that one, and we'll cover it as we will. So that'll probably be a sellout crowd. Get here early. Anytime you talk about sex, the church fills up. So praise the Lord. So here's what I want to start with this morning. If you keep doing what you've always been doing, you know the rest of it? You're going to keep getting what you've always been getting. I guess you have to be from the South to have that saying. If you keep doing what you've always been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've always been getting. So if you are stressed out about your finances, something has to change. Something has to be different. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you've always got. And the stress doesn't get lighter, does it? The stress always piles on top of itself. It always gets more difficult. It's like swimming with weights. You know, I'm a scuba diver. You may not know that about me. Pilot and scuba diver, and I love to dive. And it's like swimming. They put weights on you for swimming when you swim because, you know, sometimes you may get in trouble underwater. You're able to get out of it, and that's part of the training. It's like swimming with huge weights on you when you have stress. And over time, if you swim for much time at all, it gets harder and harder and harder, and the stress doesn't have to get any more difficult. You may not have more stuff being added to your life, but the weight of that stress wears you out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you are shaking your heads. I think we can all relate to that on some level. You know, my testimony is I lost a business. We had major financial stress. Kim and I know what it is to be in financial stress and have to work your way out of the bottom of that financial pit. And so today we want to talk about what do you do with that? You know, we want to deal with the stress level, but in order to deal with stress of financial struggles, you have to change what you're doing. And you can't just do something different. You need to do what God's Word says to do. And I don't know if you've been a Christian a long time, or maybe you're not sure about the whole God, Jesus, church thing yet. You're still working on that. That's okay. I'm glad you're here. If you apply some of the principles that we talk about today, you're going to get help with your financial life. It will be natural for you. Because these principles work across the spectrum. If you do what God's Word says and you're not a Christian, you'll still reap blessings from it because that's how God's Word works. But if you've been a Christian for any time at all, you also know that the Christian faith, God's Word, often is the absolute opposite of what the world says, isn't it? I mean, if you talk, think about things in the world and how wonderful certain things are, and then you come to God, it's like they say, you know, you're going to treat me like that, fine. Talk to the hand, you know, and you're going to go on your way. But God's Word says, love your enemy. That's completely the opposite, right? Well, that's not different in financial principles. We think, well, we're in financial principles, one of the first things we've got to do, one of the first things we got to do is start hoarding everything, right? The first thing we got to do is start keeping everything and being, you know, more careful and so on. But that's not what God's Word says. The first principle, if you look at the eight steps that will recession-proof your financial life, the first one and the last one both have about giving. Because that's where God's Word starts. Dave Ramsey, how many of you are familiar with Dave Ramsey? Okay, a hand more than I thought would be, okay? He's not big in the Northeast. He has his place in Nashville and his headquarters in Nashville. And Dave Ramsey's an incredible financial guru, and we, Kim and I, have been Dave Ramsey, well, I've been a Dave Ramsey fan. No, I'm just kidding. Dave, Kim has too. You know, it's tough, you know, to work yourself out of debt. And so Dave Ramsey, he has this saying that he isn't going to participate in the recession. And that's quite a statement, isn't it? He's not going to participate in the recession because he's taken godly principles from the Bible. This is a book of finance, by the way. We've covered that in the Balance series. God has more to say about money than any other subject except love in this Bible. And if you'll apply those principles, he'll help you overcome the stress of finances. So Dave Ramsey says, I'm not going to participate in the recession. And so he's able to do that because he's taken certain steps in his life. But is that possible? Is it possible to have a recession all around you and say, I'm not going to be in that. I'm not going to be a part of it. I said, but that seems really counterintuitive because if the recession is there, we're in the middle of it. But you don't have to participate. We participate by default. We participate because we have ignored certain financial principles that God has given us clearly in His Word. And because we've ignored them or done the opposite of what God has instructed us to do, stress comes into our finances. Stress in our finances puts stress into our relationships, don't they? They can cause problems in marriages. They can cause problems with children. They can cause problems with our employer. Because lots of things just pile on. So the first one and the last one have to do about giving. And that's kind of counterintuitive to what the world says about finances. But I want to draw your attention. I've got two verses there. We've done several messages on tithing in the series on Balance. So you can pick those up. I'm not going to go into that a lot. But it's worth mentioning because it's the first and the last principle. The first the scripture there is Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your finances. You see, if you want to relieve the stress off of your finances, you have to put God first in your finances. God is a giver. God is the biggest giver you could ever know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Has anybody ever sacrificed their children for you before other than God? I can't think of a single time that's happened in history of the world. That's how much God loves us. And we as Christians, and if you're checking this out, that's okay. Check it out. It's fine. But as Christians, we've learned that God wants us to become more like Him. So if we hold on to something too tightly, nothing can get out, can it? But the problem is, nothing can get back in either. So we end up losing blessings. We end up shutting God out. God won't pry His way in. He wants you to make that choice to be open with the stuff that He's given you. Not to make it mine, but it's His stuff. And again, that's all we're going to cover about giving, because we've already covered giving and a lot of these other principles. This is a refresher for many of you today. So look through. Also, Malachi 3 is worth mentioning. He gives us a promise. If you will follow me and do as I say, test me in this, God says. The only place in the Bible we're allowed to test God is in money. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough to take it in. And blessing comes on every level, as you've heard today, how God has picked people up and washed them off and set them up. So praise God for that. So that's it begins with giving and ends with giving, and that's how we invite God in. That's how we make Him first in our finances. I'm going to brag on you a little bit. You know, everyone who's taken the tithe challenge, pretty much, I think, you know, one struggling, I think, but pretty much everybody who's taken that tithe challenge is coming through, right? And I can't wait for the stories to come out of that about how God blesses. And you'll see that firsthand. And I just praise God for that. So that's a great step of faith. The second one is to save for the future. And these all come from Dave Ramsey. I stole this. These aren't original to me, so sorry about that. But we go to his course on the website. You'll see that in a few minutes. But save for the future. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise man saves for the future, and the foolish man spends everything he gets." Isn't that an amazing statement? Solomon is the wisest man on the planet. The second verse here, Proverbs 21:5, says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit. Haste leads to poverty." So we need to plan for the future. What do we know about the future? We know that, have you ever heard of Murphy? I said Murphy a few sermons ago. My parents went, my children said, "I don't think anybody knew what Murphy was." Well, I think everybody knows Murphy, don't he? Murphy's the guy that shows up and causes havoc in your life. He's kind of invisible, but he likes to mess with you, right? Well, Murphy shows up and he messes with you, and he messes with you all the more if you don't have an emergency fund. If you don't have some money set aside, you can't do these next steps. You can't do the next steps. The next step is to commit to get out of debt and stay out of debt, which we covered a lot in Balance. You can get that message. But you can't do that if you're constantly fighting with the stuff that happens in life. The first step you have to take there is to have an emergency fund. And Dave Ramsey, smarter guy than I am with finance, he says you got to save about $1,000. If you have, maybe on Long Island, I think it might be $2,500. It may be a little bit more because things are a little more expensive here. But you have to have an emergency fund. Why? Because if I'm trying to get out of debt, boy, the temptation when my transmission goes out, right? The temptation to go back into debt, fill out that little application and get it now to solve a crisis is going to be a lot greater if I don't have that money. And a wise man anticipates that, just as the Scripture says. The wise man saves for the future, but a foolish man spends everything he gets. But you say, "Pastor, what about your faith?" I have faith. Amazing faith in God. I also have faith to know that stuff is going to happen in life. And I've got to be prepared for that moment. I need to be wise as serpent, as innocent as dove. I've got to trust God with my stuff, trust God with my future, and know that He wants me to have a reserve in place to handle those emergencies, to handle those crises, so that when I remember when we were going through our hassles, we had a crisis come up. We had an air conditioner go out or something. I don't remember exactly what it was now, but the repair bill was like $500. And we were devastated. It was absolutely crazy. We couldn't get $500. We had to pray and we had to seek the Lord. We had to do all of that, understand, and we had to end up going and borrowing the money to do the repair. Now we have an emergency fund set up. And we had, years later, we had a transmission problem come up in our car, and we didn't freak out because we had the $1,200 and we could just write a check for it. Yes, it was painful to write that check for a car repair, but there was no stress to it. You see what I'm saying? God knows that stuff's going to come into our life, and He wants us as Christians to be prepared for those catastrophes, to be prepared for those moments. So saving for the future is certainly important. God's Word tells us to do that, to be prepared for those catastrophes. Now, commit to get out of debt and stay out of debt. The debt snowball. You take your debts. This is in order. These steps are in order. They're baby steps. Dave Ramsey's baby steps. And there's passages of Scripture for each one. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and borrower is servant to the lender." Or slave to the lender is actually a better translation. I got a question for you. Who ever named that card MasterCard? I mean, isn't that an appropriate name? Who thought of that? They even advertised MasterCard. We're going to be your master, right? Or have you discovered bondage yet? Or American, what did I call that one? American distress? Yeah. So, you know, debt equals risk. Debt equals risk. Do you know 100% of foreclosures occur on homes with mortgages? If you don't have a mortgage on your home, you can't get foreclosed on. Isn't that a good thing? But we live in a country where it seems impossible to have a home without a mortgage, or to have a car without a loan, or to have a student without a loan, right? So, but we can do that if we prepare for the future, if we live a little bit differently. I don't want to beat debt to death because, again, we had a whole session on it. This is kind of a refresher this morning. But slaves, if we are in debt to somebody, we are slaves to them. That's what the Bible says. Most of you have hearts that are ready to give. You want to be givers. You hear of something like Teen Challenge and you want to participate. You want to be a part of that. You want to go. But you have Visa or MasterCard yelling, pay, pay, pay on this side. And who wins? Your master wins, don't they? We get so strapped with debt, like the family I was counseling yesterday, so strapped with debt that we literally can't be generous like we want to be. We can't go do the things that God wants us to do because we're so strapped financially. And that's not that's not God's plan for you. That's not God's will for you. He wants you to not have those debts, to not have those masters. The only master that God wants for your life is Him. He wants to be the ruler of your life. He wants to be the Lord, the God, the King of who you serve. Not MasterCard, not Discover, not American Express, and so on. You know, some people justify their credit cards, and you know me by now. I have a passion for no debt. People justify credit cards by saying, but those points are so important. Let me tell you what, most of the points in the world go unfulfilled, right? You know that. They expire without ever being used. And I've met lots of millionaires. I've never met a single millionaire who said, "Pastor, you won't believe when the points on my Discover card. That was the turning point for my financial life." I've never had someone come to me and say, "You know those airline miles? That's what put me over the top financially." It just doesn't happen. They are better at this game than we are, and they can entice you to do things that you would never do. And, you know, debit cards can do the very same thing credit cards can do. Rent a car, do all the same things, except one thing a debit card can't do: put you in debt. Because if you don't have it, you can't spend it. And that's a good thing. "But I need it for my emergency fund." No, you don't. Not if you have an emergency fund. You don't need that credit card for an emergency fund. Imagine, just for a moment, Imagine with me what it would be like in your own personal life if you had no debt, if you had no payments, if you had no creditor crying out every month, pay, pay, pay. And if you don't pay, I'm taking that. I'm repossessing it. That's mine. And you can't have it if you're not going to pay for it. And they're heartless. They're ruthless masters, aren't they? Try not paying American Express and see how many calls you get next month, right? They're ruthless at that their game. I used to be in that business. Imagine for a minute having a car and having no payment. Kim and I drive a 10-year... We have birthday parties for our car. Not really. We have a 10-year-old car because we refuse to have a car payment. We refuse it. I don't want to have a master over that. I want to be able to go to the Teen Challenge banquet when God wants me to go. I want to be able to do those things. And if I get strapped down with a bunch of payments, that becomes impossible. Here's a little statistic for you. Did you know that the average car payment in America is $478 a month? For 84 months? That is 7 years, right? Is that right? I didn't check that out. 84 months you can finance cars now. Most cars don't even last 8 years anymore unless you're really diligent, right? So 84 months. Do you realize that if you invested $478 a month from the time you were 30 years old until you were 70 years old, you would have $5.6 million? I hope you like that car. That's a lot of car. Draw the line in the sand. That's what we had to do. We had to draw the line in the sand. We had to perform Dave Ramsey's plastic surgery. We had to have a plastectomy. We had to cut those credit cards up, and it was so painful because I wanted those points. I wanted those, that security. I wanted this. I wanted that. But we couldn't control it. And I'm pretty self-disciplined in every area of my life, but I couldn't deal with it. Maybe you can. Praise God if you can, but I couldn't. And I had to have a plastic surgery, and we had to have a family meeting, and we had to talk about that and chop those cards up and close. I had to call and fit. They'll send you new cards. I had to call and close them and get rid of them. And they says, you know, you can't reopen this account if you close it. Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And then we had to make plans to repay it. So say I'm done. Draw the line in the sand. I'm not going to play this game any longer. They're far better at it than I am. And get out. You know, if you look at the Forbes 400, the richest 500 people in the United States, that 1% that everybody's talking about, it's really not that many people. And you interviewed them. Do you know that 90 to 95% of them will tell you the secret to their success financially? And I don't know how successful that is. That's a whole other story. But the reason they've gotten rich is because they made a commitment to get out of debt and stay out of debt. They believe debt is their enemy. And their disposable income has allowed them to build vast wealth. But that's not the thinking that's in our country anymore, is it? That's the exact opposite. And exactly what the Bible says. Don't be slave to creditors. Don't let them into your life that way. The fourth one, fully fund your emergency fund. Now, we talked about an emergency fund for when Murphy shows up, but then you have a bunch of debt, like most people in this country, you probably have some debt. So you have this little emergency fund to deal with transmissions and oil burners and all the stuff that might go out and something happens, and then you got to take some time off from paying your debt and refund your little emergency fund. But once you get your credit cards, your cars paid off, your big stuff, you only have a mortgage left. You only have a mortgage left. Now it's time to really build your full emergency fund. What's a full emergency fund? Well, Dave Ramsey recommends 3 to 6 months of expenses. So you think, if I lost my job right now, I need to have, and it's all depending on what your level of security is, I need to have 3 to 6 months of expenses in the bank. Now, if I didn't work, I wouldn't have so much fuel. I wouldn't, and you can kind of figure that out, and you can save that additional money. So you get out of debt, you're not paying MasterCard anymore, you're not paying your car loan. You've taken that money, you paid off your littlest creditor, and you rolled that money over, so it's debt snowball, and it pays, most people can pay their loan, their balances off, everything but the house in about 2 years. usually, and it seems like that seems like it'd be longer than that, but you start letting that snowball work, it can go very, very quickly. And then you fully fund your emergency fund. So if you have a major life-altering, you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, something catastrophic happens, the stress isn't piled on with that. We don't have to deal with stress because we've been diligent to what God says. The wise man saves for the future. He anticipates that there's going to be job losses. He anticipates that there's going to be life-altering things that happen in our life. And the wise man saves for those times. The foolish man spends everything he gets. Listen to Solomon. Listen to the Holy Spirit in that verse. And take precautions to deal with emergencies before they happen. And listen, those emergencies, when they happen, you'll be able to write checks for them and not borrow and compound the financial stress, and you'll be able to get through it with God's help, with God's guidance, and replenish that emergency fund easily. So that's the fourth one. The fifth one is once you get a fully funded emergency fund, you got to pay the house off, right? Now it's time to invest 15% of your household income for retirement. You know, most people, and we did this statistic in the Balance series, most people over 65 years old, the majority of people in this country over 65 years old, cannot write a check for $600. They live Social Security check to Social Security check, and they spend every dime of it just to survive. That's not retiring with dignity. You're being faithful in your giving, you saved for the future, you've gotten debt-free, you've fully funded your emergency fund to have a rainy day fund for catastrophes now, and now it's time to invest 15% of your income into long-term savings that you can retire with dignity. And there's a reason for that. We don't save money so that we can spend it on ourselves. Some of that will be spent on your retirement and so on. But you save that money, and it's amazing how much money can be accumulated when you have no debt and you're able to save money wisely and give 15% of your income into investments. You're able to pursue and give what God wants you to give. It's amazing. That's the last step. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So we invest for God's glory so that we can do what He wants us to do. Then we pay the home off early. Imagine we go back to Proverbs 22:7. We don't want any masters in our life. And some of us can't even think about a home without a payment. But let me tell you, it is possible. It is possible when you really get serious about the debt snowball, you're given your 15% of your income, you've done all these other steps, you can become debt free. Now, can you imagine for just a moment not even having a house payment? Not even having a rent payment? Having a place that can't be foreclosed on? Can you imagine the stress that could remove from your financial life? Not having those daily grinds? Let me tell you what, that's an amazing place to be in. And I want to encourage you to be diligent in working that. And the last one is to build wealth. To continue. You've paid the house off. You're continuing to fund your retirement. But listen, again, God is the owner of all things. And the last one is to continue to build wealth and give like no one else can give. That's why God has given us these passages of Scripture, these financial principles to live by, not so that we can hoard and live like kings and so on. You can live with dignity. There's nothing wrong with that. But the reason we do that is so that we can give like no one else can give. So that we can glorify God in our giving. There was a testimony I saw once that really touched me. This couple was getting counsel from Dave Ramsey and going through the steps. They were in South Atlanta area. And they wanted to adopt a baby. But they knew that they probably shouldn't do that while they were in debt. They had worked so hard. They only had like $5,000 left. To pay on their debt. And then they were going to start saving for the adoption. Adoptions are very expensive. And so they had finally, were able to work through that. And someone that had done this for years, an older couple that had been Dave Ramsey, got wind of this. And they came to this couple. And they said, listen, you've been pretty diligent. We know your counsel, and they kind of shared with your permission some of your story, and you didn't know why we were asking. But here, we want to pay your adoption fee. And they gave them a check for $10,000 to pay for the adoption fee so that they paid the debt off, now they could get the baby. You know why that was possible? Because they could be givers like God is a giver. See, God allowed them the mercy, the grace, of the wisdom to save so that they could be amazing blessings in people's lives. And they understood why God had allowed them to do this accumulation of wealth. And because of their obedience, they were able to step out. And can you imagine? There's no financial stress in their life. There's great blessing in their life because they've taken these principles from the Lord and applied them to their life. And God has allowed them to be givers. And listen, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, South Bay Bible Church, we believe that spiritual life is a series of next steps. And so on your communication card, there's some next steps here to take, and I want to encourage you to pull that communication card out now. And if you haven't memorized Matthew 11:28-29, I'd encourage you to take that next step today. Can you do that? Just check that, and as you turn that card in a few minutes, I'll be praying that God will help you memorize. Some people need prayer for that. So, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's the rest of the Lord that you'll be getting. And if you need that in your finances, memorize that verse. The next thing is begin the financial baby steps. You know, as all the financial balance stuff we covered, I never laid out a life plan like this. And I think this is a great time to do that. Now that you have that background, and if you don't have that background, go get that series and listen to it. This is a step-by-step plan that you can easily implement into your life to get financial stability in your life, to relieve the stress in your life. So begin those steps. Maybe some of you can fund that emergency fund right now with $2,500, and you can move on to debt to step two, begin the debt snowball. Some of you don't have any debt, and you can right away begin to do step four and fully fund your emergency fund. Whatever you need to do, start doing it. That's the next step. The third one I want to talk about just for 30 seconds, and this isn't a commercial. I love Dave Ramsey. I think his principles are great. Most of the stuff you'll know, but he helps you implement it. And we have Financial Peace University on our website now for the church. You have to pay a fee because I have to pay him, and there's a whole kit that comes with it, with an envelope system, the cash envelope system, which Kim and I have used for years. And so we don't go into debt anymore, so we have the cash envelope system. You get that, you get a workbook, you get all the CDs, you get a lot of stuff with that, so it's $125. But if you need to go through it, we have some scholarships. If you just don't have $125, let me know, and we can scholarship you with some of that. But you can take it at your pleasure. We used to have to come to the church and do this 13-week class, and now you don't have to do that. You can take them online. You can go through the program in your skivvies in the middle of the night. You can watch an episode, and it's really cool. And it's right on the church website. So go check that out today and look at that. You go into the financial, go to the giving tab, and then the Financial Peace University. You can read all about that at home. If you have any questions, call me. The last one is Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover. If you really want to get serious about this, if you get the kit, it's in there already. It's included. If you don't get the kit, you can buy that book, and it's a great read. He's a great author, and he's funny, and you'll love hearing him talk about that. There's lots of scripture in the book, and you'll be blessed just by implementing those principles. Imagine with me as we close, just for a second. I was talking to you personally earlier about what it would be like in your life if you got debt-free. What would it be like if you applied these principles that God's Word talks about? Consider with me for a moment. Imagine with me for a moment what it would be like if the entire church were debt-free. If the entire church had saved for the future. If the entire church could give like no one else could give. We are a very giving church in this community. And we do a lot of work around this community. Imagine how much more could be done in the name of Jesus. Just imagine with me for a moment how much more could be done. We can do this. We can do this. And God will bless you immensely as you consider that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are the reliever of all of our stress. And you tell us, whether it's future stress, stress over the future, whether it's financial stress or any of the others, Lord, that we're going to talk about. Lord, you tell us to come to you, the Word. To come to you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In verse 14 in John 1, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Lord, the last thing you told your disciples in the Great Commission was go into all the world and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is a key part of that whole verse. Teach them to obey every single thing that I have commanded you. And Lord, this is part of that. You want to take people who are burdened. You want to take people who are stressed out. You want to take people that have a lot of stuff that they've got to deal with. And you want to help them find rest in you. We thank you, Lord, for the Teen Challenge testimonies today. Lord, what a blessing it is to hear us. Hear them, Lord, tell us those stories of your mercy, of your grace, of your cleansing power, the power of the gospel that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that's at work to change them. And Lord, it's the same power to help us get out of financial stress. It's the same power that's available to us to get out of the stress of the unknown future because we have a Father that loves us so much. Lord, it's the same power to help us with every single life issue we encounter. So God, we just lift up our hands and praise you for who you are. We thank you for your loving kindness. And God, if somebody doesn't know you today, that's probably here, somebody doesn't know you. Lord, I pray that you would give them the gift of faith. Help them believe in your Son, Jesus, that came to die on the cross for their sin. Well, we broke your law, but Jesus paid the death penalty, paid the fine. And that's the penalty that God set for every sin we've ever committed. And Jesus Christ paid that fine because He loved us so much. Lord, I pray that you would grant the gift of faith to believe in the promise of God. That if we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Lord, grant that faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now's the time to take those communication cards. Make sure they're filled out. Pull these communication cards out with me, will you? Everybody move in that direction, fill them out, and let's turn those in during the offering. If our ushers could come, we'll receive the offering this morning. Stephen. Where's Stephen? I don't have Stephen. All right. Let's receive the offering. God, we lift up this offering to you in the name of Jesus. Bless the gift and the giver for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.